Attorney Drapp stepped out, so I don't know if you want to go to another one. I don't know if that's the next one would be.
It's the state's case.
Do you want to see if your attorney's like right outside? I'm sorry, what are we doing here?
We still have three?
No, we have another Ralph case too.
I have 11 and 13. No, Ralph is done.
Yeah, what number? Mine are numbered differently because they're numbered.
So it's six, the next one's going to be 21-222.
They reinstated that.
21-433.
That one, and 444 is gone?
444. Is that the last one?
No, it's not the last one. It was number nine on the original record.
My guess is, I can tell you exactly what happened in that case.
That's the traffic stop, heroin, fentanyl.
What was the name of it?
Michael Perry.
Oh, he withdrew with an agreement.
Yeah.
He withdrew with an agreement.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, what are we doing now? I was trying to do 11. Yeah, and he just said Drapp just gave me a note saying he was stepping out for a bit. Oh, okay. All right.
So we might have to do the state's case.
When did he give you that note? Just when you were doing this case here. All right. Well, we tried. We'll do case number 13, 21-433.
Uh-oh.
Sorry for the long day, Cynthia. Sergeant Maury says that the building does close at 4:30.
Yeah, we'll be out by then.
Promise?
Attorney Drapp might not let us out before then.
We can find our way, we can find our way out.
We know where the out there is.
Yeah, there are emergency exits, nothing's locked.
Okay, Counselor, can you identify yourself for the record one more time?
We'll leave it down.
Just double checking, is this 21-433?
It is.
Okay. Good afternoon, I am Attorney Cynthia Isalas, and I represent the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection in this revocation hearing, and my witness is Officer Jared Zuba.
And that is spelled S-Z-U-B-A.
Yep, Officer Shuba, H-B, and it's S-Z-U-B-A.
Okay.
Can you spell that? Good thing you got it spelled on your shirt.
Yeah. Okay, Attorney Isalas, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would, thank you. We are here today because appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds. We will present evidence that the appellant was found by the Norwich PD highly intoxicated in possession of a firearm after he struck another vehicle and evaded the scene. This is part two of our previous case.
Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
No.
Okay. You may proceed.
Officer Zuba, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Would you please state and spell your name?
Officer Jared Zuba, S-Z-U-B-A, first name J-A-R-E-D.
And where are you currently employed, sir?
Norwich Police Department.
And what do you do there?
I'm a evening shift patroler.
Okay, and how long have you been employed there?
8.5 years.
And were you working as an officer in the Norwich Police Department on September 23rd, 2020?
Yes.
And were you dispatched to a report of an evading vehicle that day?
Yes.
And where were you dispatched to?
I was dispatched to the intersection of Old Canterbury Turnpike and Canterbury Turnpike. They kind of converge together. There's a restaurant called Mr. Pan's, and a evading motor vehicle accident had occurred in that intersection.
Okay, and at what time of day was it?
It was, the time of dispatch was 8:34 p.m.
And what did you encounter when you got there?
When I arrived at the scene, myself and Officer Froelich, who was my backup officer, we spoke with a witness at the scene who described a vehicle, or the evading vehicle, and the possible direction of travel. And the witness, the first witness, reported that he had struck a dumpster, followed by the structure or a bulkhead for the basement, spun out in the intersection, and then continued towards the direction of Tafalaca Road.
Okay, so just to clarify, this is the witness describing what the witness saw the appellant do?
Yes,
okay.
He described the vehicle, most specifically, he described it as an older vehicle with flames on the side.
Okay. What did you do next in your investigation?
Myself and Officer Froelich began to check the area for the impeding vehicle to determine the damage and make sure there was nobody else that was injured, We were approached by a second witness who reported that the vehicle and provided the same description to myself had crossed the bridge into the town of Sprague and was just past what's called the Stonehouse Bar and Grill, and that vehicle was pulled off to the shoulder with its lights off.
Did you then find the vehicle? Did you search for the vehicle and find it?
Yes, I went into the town of Sprague. I observed that same vehicle, a described vehicle, on the right shoulder with the lights off. As I approached, I turned on my scene lights and my takedowns, and the appellant exited the vehicle as I was approaching it.
Okay, and explain for the board what you saw when the appellant exited the vehicle and was approaching him.
As the appellant exited the vehicle, he seemed a little bit uneasy on his feet. As I spoke with him, he was slurring his words. He appeared intoxicated. And as I was speaking with him about the damage to the front of his vehicle, I observed a firearm in the front portion of his, just below his stomach, which we describe as an appendix carry. I placed him into handcuffs because I was by myself. I removed that firearm from his person, secured it into my cruiser, and returned back to the appellant, removed him from his handcuffs, and began the investigation with the evading and the suspicion of driving under the influence.
Okay. What did you do next?
I asked the individual, or the appellant, about what had occurred. He described to me that he had blown a tire, the right front tire, and he had spun out and continued on. He did not say that he wasn't aware that he had struck a fixed object, such as the building, and he wasn't sure how the damage was caused on the front of his vehicle.
Did you suspect that the appellant was under the influence of alcohol?
Yes, I observed a alcoholic beverage container in the center between the driver's side and the vehicle, and based off talking, observed his eyes were bloodshot, glossy, he was slurring his words, and so I began to conduct the standard field sobriety test.
Okay, can you explain to the board how you conducted that?
I conducted the standard field sobriety test, which consists of the horizontal gaze nystagmus, the walk and turn, and the one leg stand, all of which were not performed to standard.
Explain that a little bit further. What do you mean they were not performed to standard?
I observed the nystagmus, or lack of smooth pursuit as far as the nystagmus. I observed nystagmus at onset prior to 45, as well as a maximum deviation of both the left and right eye. As far as the walk and turn, I observed several cues as far as conducting the test, maintaining the starting position, stepping off the line, incorrect number of steps, and then the one leg stand was not performed to standard as far as he had to place his foot down to catch his balance, also kind of hopping as well.
Okay. Did you eventually decide to arrest the appellant?
Yes, I subsequently arrested the appellant, transported him to Norwich Police Headquarters to complete the processing.
And what did you charge him with, sir?
I charged him with evading, driving under the influence, 14227A. The vehicle was unregistered. We found that the plates were did not match the vehicle, so it was a misuse, unregistered, and then carrying a firearm while under the influence.
Okay. What did you do with his firearm and his permit?
So I seized the firearm, placed it into the Norwich Police Department evidence. While logging the evidence, prior to, I had secured the firearm. When I secured the firearm, it was found to have six 45 caliber rounds in the magazine and one in the chamber. And I secured that into evidence, and then I revoked the permit, or seized the permit, and submitted it back to the state police to specialize in firearms.
Thank you. While you were at the police department, did he also undergo a breathalyzer test?
Yes.
And what were the results of that?
The first test, he consented to a breath sample. The first sample was a 0.1915, and the second sample was a 0.178.
And
189.
How does that compare to what the legal limit is?
The second one was a 1789.
And how does that compare to what the legal limit is?
It's just over twice the legal limit, which is 0.08.
What did you do to prepare for this hearing today, sir?
I did a inquiry in our system, which is called IMC, to review this case. Upon reviewing, adding his name into the system to look at his history to get to the case number, I observed a recent case number.
Okay. Can you describe for the board what that recent case is?
So officer, there's an open investigation with Officer Castro involving on 1/23 of 2023 of a missing firearm.
Okay, and how is that firearm related to the appellant?
It's the same firearm that was located on the person on the date of the arrest, and that that firearm had been previously returned to him, or to the appellant's father, per court order on July 27th of 2022.
Okay, and how did it eventually come to be missing on January 23rd, 2023?
The appellant's father had made a report to the Norwich Police Department that the firearm was missing. The report was on 1/23/2023. The appellant's father believes that the firearm may have gone missing on 1/20 of 2023, where he had met up with the appellant, swapped vehicles to go shopping. He went to Stop and Shop on Town Street in Norwich, and then he proceeded to a gas station, which is called, the Sam's Mobile on Washington Street. And the appellant's father believed that he left the vehicle unlocked. And
the appellant's father believes that who left the vehicle unlocked?
The appellant's father believed that he himself had left the vehicle unlocked, and the firearm was potentially stolen from the glove box, which was unsecured.
Okay.
And then this discovery of the firearm missing in the glove box was discovered by the appellant on 1/22. Which was the night prior to the report.
So was it the appellant who reported it, or the appellant's father?
The appellant, according to the report, it was the appellant's father.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Sir, do you have any questions of the officer?
I'm not really good at this kind of stuff, and obviously I don't do this for a living. First, obviously, it's been made clear that she had said I had hit a vehicle, which he had already.
Okay, sir. So you'll have a chance to tell us your side of the story, but do you have a question for the officer?
No, that is right.
Okay. Does the board have any questions of the witness? Seeing not any other witnesses. Okay. Now you may proceed to tell us what you'd like us to know.
All right, so, well, I guess I'll start from the beginning here. I build classic cars for a living. We have a family-owned business in Norwich. And we're part of a car club. We have about 80 members. You know, we do a lot of functions around and, you know, a lot for the town and this and that, too. So the night of, I had just bought this car. It was a 46 Ford coupe. And I had gotten it insured. Now, this was around COVID time. So it is, I'm sure you guys know, getting in to do registrations and all that was an absolute nightmare. So I had just sold a Suburban of mine, which is what the plate was off of. I got my coupe registered. I was waiting on being able to go and transfer plates, which, you know, then, you know, because of everything, you know, they were, as long as it was insured, you had a thing to go get it, you know, registered and all that. They didn't really have a problem with it, you know, because of the COVID situation. I gotten out of work, and there was a show that night, which I went to. I ended up leaving there. This car, it was still the way I had gotten it. I only had time to do a few things to it. It did have a bubble in the passenger side front tire, which is why I actually was coming down the back roads. I didn't want to take it down the highway and have a problem with it, which obviously didn't work so well anyways. The tire blew as I came around the corner, spun the car around. I stopped, and I don't know if it's the same person they talked to as a witness or not, but there was somebody that came out there, and I had asked them, I said, you know, I didn't hit anything, did I? And he said, no. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, well, you know, I wasn't far from my home, so I said, I'll try and milk it home. It only has a flat tire, and I didn't have a spare for it, so I proceeded to, you know, try and get the car home. After that, the reason it was pulled off to the side with the lights off is because it was sitting for a very long time and the battery was no good. I pulled off to the side. I didn't want to ruin anything any further than it already had been with the tire, I suppose, it, you know, was the problem. And so I pulled off to the side and I called my father, who was still in Norwich, to grab our tow truck and come and pick it up. As I was sitting there, the officer pulled up and I stepped out of the car and he had, you know, asked me, you know, where I was coming from, this and that. And then he, you know, he asked me why I evaded or left the scene. And I, at that point, I didn't understand what he was talking about because as far as I knew, nothing had been disturbed. It was just my car. So I really didn't know what he was talking about at that point in time. So it came as a bigger shock to me, plus the damage to my vehicle. That was, you know, I took a lot of pride in all that. So it was kind of like a whole lot going on at once for me. After that, yeah, you know, you had me do the sobriety test and all that stuff, and then I was arrested. And he asked me if that was a pistol on me. I said yes. He asked me if he could take it off. I said, you know, I didn't give any problems about any of that. Following all this, come to find out it was that there was a dumpster there that when the car had spun it, the passenger side front and it hit the dumpster, which then rolled it into this, into the doors there going to the basement and all that. And it was an old concrete job, cracked some concrete and stuff, which I actually ended up going back personally and paid for, and I fixed it for them. Took care of it, you know, because I did it. So, as far as that, and then, you know, as far as what has happened recently, my father had my pistol. I knew I wasn't supposed to have it on me until, because this, you know, we're having this trial now, so I mean, I haven't had it on me all this time, why would I risk it? He had the car, he had my pistol, and, you know, it was very clear what the deal was, you know. He had put it in the glove box, like she had said, and, you know, I wasn't around, so I can't tell you yes or no on anything. I just know, you know, what I was told. And then when he called it in, you know, because at that point, I'm not in control of that pistol. That was made clear, you know, by the station and all that. So whatever happened with that is, has nothing, you know, to do with me as far as that goes. I really don't know what more I can say. I got an accident on my car. Yes, I had drinks under me. I was coming from work, which is why I had my pistol on me. I couldn't take it off, lock it up, or anything like that. Obviously, I don't know if you guys know the cars. The glove boxes don't lock like they do now. Or store away anywhere. And then the vents, usually, you know, there's children and everything looking at the cars and whatnot. So that was not an option for me to leave that unsecured where somebody, you know, could go over that, like, a child or someone else. So yes, I did have it on me, and after the accident, like I said, I made good on what I had done wrong. And, you know, the court has dropped, you know, all the charges and everything else against me. This is the only thing left. They did have me go through 10 classes of whatever it was there, of the drug and alcohol class, which at that time was virtual. Never missed one of them, and graduated from that without, or graduated, whatever you want to say. We've got my certificate and all. It was a very big eye-opening experience for me, as far as an embarrassing one, and a something that, you know, definitely changed your outlook on things and makes you more aware of, you know, what you're doing and ways to go better. I've been doing a lot better ever since that, you know. And, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't have drinks. I mean, I may have a drink every now and then, you know. But, you know, it's not that I quit drinking completely. I stopped drinking for a little while after the incident. But now if I do have a drink, it's only, you know, maybe really part of whatever, but I'm not driving. I'm not, you know, anything like that. I took it as a very big mistake that, you know, and a very big learning curve, you know. That's about it.
Council Cross?
Yeah. Sir, what were you drinking on September 23rd, 2020?
As far as I know, it's been a while now. My recollection, it was just Michelob Ultras, you know.
And where were you drinking the Michelob Ultras?
At the car show, which was at the Ajramus.
At the car show?
Yes.
Okay. And how much, how many Michelob Ultras did you have?
I know on here it says one. Now, to be honest, it was a while ago. I can't give you an honest answer.
And you agree that you had your firearm on you?
Yes.
And you agree that it was loaded?
Yes.
And do you know that it's a crime to carry a firearm while under the influence of alcohol?
I would. Not all laws were, you know, very black and white, and especially if you've seen the pistol classes, they don't really give you a printout on everything. Obviously, it's a moral and law thing, but. No, it was not shoved in my face right away to know that that was a black and white ball.
Okay. And sir, you say that it wasn't an option to leave the gun unsecured in the vehicle. So did you see your only other option to drink while in possession of your firearm?
My only other option I looked at was that if I had a few drinks, yes. But keeping it on me was much more secure than running the risk of having somebody grab it, or a child, or a very intoxicated adult that can't control themselves. Yes.
I don't have any other questions for you.
Board, have any questions? No?
No, I do.
Oh, yeah. I thought so. Okay.
What she was getting at is the other option would be not to drink.
Oh, yes.
That doesn't even seem to have occurred to you.
Yes.
We're all flabbergasted by that. It's like,
Option was not to drink.
That was the option. That was
yeah.
the only option. What did you do wrong that day that you wouldn't do again? What mistakes did you make?
What I did wrong that day that I wouldn't do again was, well, quite a bit. Just about all of it. But not drinking, like you said. You know, having that firearm on me, not drinking is a very big thing. It's the only option, like you said. Driving. That was another very big mistake while drinking, obviously. There's a lot of things that were.
Yeah, and a couple you probably didn't think of. Is the, first of all, the recklessness of drinking with a gun and then driving, but you're also driving a car that you knew was defective. It had a bubble in the tire. That's reckless driving, just by knowing it's defective. Then you had an accident, and you continue driving with a knowingly defective vehicle. You know, so the board here asked the judge.
I was trying to get it out of the road and out of the middle of that. That's a big
Well, you said you were you said you were trying to go home.
Well, yeah, I was trying to milk it on the way. Yes.
Yeah.
Milk it home. Either way, it was in the middle of the road.
Have you ever been arrested for DUI in the past?
No.
Have you been arrested since?
No.
When was the last time you were drunk? This weekend?
No.
Week before?
No.
January, this month?
If anything, maybe New Year's at home.
Okay, maybe, or you were?
Yeah, I wouldn't say drunk. I would say I had a buzz. You know,
okay.
Not drunk.
How many drinks would give you, do you think you had?
At home, that
yep.
day? I don't know, I might have had 4 or 5 beers.
When you took the classes, the alcohol education program classes, did they tell you it was okay to continue drinking?
What do you mean as far as?
They must have given you some advice on your alcohol use and whether it's
yes,
a good idea
they did.
To. They said.
You know, they made it very clear though that their biggest thing that they tried to instill you was that people are gonna, you know, if you do have drink, they don't disgrace you as. I guess from drink, they're not going to sit there and tell you never have another drink again in your life. They more or less want to make you aware of the fact that if you are going to have an alcoholic beverage, or that if you are out somewhere, you know, you're not driving, you're not, you know, you get an Uber, or you know, you stay home, or you don't, you know, that was one of their very big things that they kept trying to instill on.
You mentioned you were unaware of the law that you cannot carry a firearm while intoxicated.
I was unaware that you weren't allowed to drink.
All right. How much can you drink and still carry a firearm?
Well, it varies for everybody. They
well, you personally, what would your limit be to carry a firearm?
Oh, I wouldn't now?
Yeah.
I wouldn't drink at all carrying a firearm.
Other questions? Teresa
Nettie? I think you said that when the car spun out, you didn't think you hit anything?
No, I wasn't aware that I did.
Okay, but you did?
I did, yeah.
Okay, and
yes.
The reason that you didn't realize you hit something probably was because you were drunk.
It could, yeah, very well could have been. Everything happened so fast, and I had asked, like I had said, person that was there, and I'm not sure if it's the same witness that they had or not, that, you know, I said, did I hit something? And they said, no, so.
But you didn't realize you hit anything?
No, I mean, the car was spinning, it was this, it was that, the tire blown. I didn't know if I was feeling the rim dragging across, you know, it dug into something, I didn't know what it was.
You didn't feel an impact?
No, not like a sudden bang, you know, it was in the motion of the car going around, okay. You know. I can only be honest with you guys as far as, you know, what I know of what happened.
Other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
I just, you know, I know everybody, nobody's perfect, and I know that what I did was, you know, not okay. And like you said, the drink, you know, drinking, not drinking was the option, it was the only option. I'm very well aware of that. As I said, this was a very, very big wake-up call as far as, you know, having drinks and you know, what it is to be a gun owner and, you know, being allowed the opportunity to care and you know, the responsibilities that you bear with that. I take it very seriously.
Attorney Sells.
Yeah. Briefly, the department has continued concerns about the appellant's suitability. The appellant is not suited to carry a firearm in public, as demonstrated. We therefore ask that the board rule in favor of the issuing authority.
Thank you. Discussion by the board? Seeing none, Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to vote for the issuing authority. I think the incident occurred too soon, and also, I am concerned that you still occasionally imbibe in alcohol to the point of getting a buzz on, and having a handgun available puts you and others at risk.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
And Acting Chair votes issuing authority. That's 5-0 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.